Hello, everyone. How you doing? This is Evan Blanchard. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, would you please turn with me to Second Samuel, chapter 19. Second Samuel, chapter 19. And we're going to read here, go from verse 15 down to verse 23. And the word of the Lord says, "So the king returned and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And he said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servants don't know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet the Lord that king. But Abishai the son of Zerah answered and said, Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am the king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, Thou shalt not die. And the king swore unto him." Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for the people that are listening. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit that has come to show us once again what it is to believe, what is faith. That we'd ever look to that perfect work on the cross. That, Lord, you'd help us disregard what we do and what we think and what we feel. But that, Lord, you'd always show us this great promise that is in Christ crucified. That we are dead with him, yet our soul is alive. That, Lord God, we are dead in the flesh, but alive in spirit. And, Lord, we thank you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Terrific chapter that we're going to read here in these verses in chapter 19. There's two stories that follow one after another. One is about Shimei, the other one is Mephibosheth, and both stories talk about the grace and the redemption of the Lord. They show us over and over again about where the believer's faith should be, what he should be looking unto, what he should be hoping for, what he should be ever craving for and asking the Lord to show and reveal to him. And the Old Testament is a series of stories that concern two things, wrath and redemption. It is always about God's wrath falling, either through the prophetic voice or the preaching of that day or through the natural disasters or whatever the Lord decided to do. But it's always followed by the redemption of the soul. And that is exactly what the scripture is about. It is about redeeming the soul of man that was born in iniquity, born in sin, completely transgressed before God, has no hope of righteousness, no hope of salvation. And through the finished work of Jesus' death on the cross, the Lord is able to impute righteousness to those of us who, without a shadow of a doubt, deserve to have nothing but the wrath of God. And when these stories are repetitive in the Old Testament, they validate a point of Scripture, is that the Holy Spirit is ever trying to reveal unto man that what he is and what the Lord is wanting to do. Because mankind, and when I say mankind, I'm specifically talking about the people of God and the church, they've ever lose sight of the promise that comes through the cross. They ever lose sight of the salvation of God that they have not obtained yet, the righteousness they have not obtained yet, the joy and unspeakable and full of glory that has not been given as they reside down here in these earthly bodies. It is a promise that will reach its fulfillment finally with the rapture of Jesus Christ out of heaven or with the death of the believer. And the the churches of our time have taken, and when I say our time, it's been through all the time, but they've always focused on the earthly walk. They've always twisted scripture to focus on, see, this means that God wants you to do this. See, this means that God wants you to do that. It's never about that, because the Bible's not what God wants you to do. It's what God is trying to get you to believe. He's trying for you to attest to your complete depravity before Him, and that you look exclusively to the work that Jesus did on the cross, that you believe that the Son of the living God did come, did die perfectly, He did rise from the grave, and therefore the problem that man faced since the beginning, since he was cursed in the garden, was that his soul, his eternal soul, was married, and it was encased in this house of wicked flesh, and it ultimately would face the same penalty that the flesh would, the death sentence. He would face a spiritual death sentence that would last forever. And glory to God, Jesus Christ did come, and as He laid His life down, there now became a point, a place where man and God could meet, and they could come together as one. And you have to understand, the only place that you and Jesus are unified is in His death. If you claim that you are unified with Christ by any other means than faith in what He's done at the cross, then you've blasphemed the Scriptures, because the Word of God is explicitly clear. It is faith in His death that brings the wicked sinner and the Holy One that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and brings them together. That if you be planted in the likeness of His death, you shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. So if you put faith in what Jesus has done at the cross, you have a promise, you have a hope, you have a future that cannot be described in human words or in human terms. It is a hope that cannot be seen in the lives of the people around you and the people that you know. It is a hope exclusively that can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And it is through the preaching of the cross that it preaches to everyone. It preaches to all ears. It attacks all denominations. It attacks all walks of life. It attacks all race, all colors, all creed. It is the preaching of the cross that says humanity has fallen before a holy God. He is irreparable. He cannot change in His physically earthly state. He can only sin and invent ways to sin. He can only rebel against God. He is always in His physical body an abomination before the Lord in the terms of what He acts and how He performs and how He behaves on earth. Never has God looked down and looked at a man or a woman and said, I'm pleased with what they do. There was only one in which the Lord said, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased. And that was Jesus Christ, and you are not Him. Therefore, to look at your earthly life as whether or not you are under the blessing of God or outside the blessing of God is folly, it's foolishness, and it will lead you into utter damnation. You must rely on the Word of God, which teaches you that if you believe in what Christ did at the cross, if you recognize His holy offering is that it was given unto you to give you salvation and righteousness and sanctification, that it's a complete work and you are a complete work in that, then there is nothing for you to toil about in concern of how I am to live for God. You can have rest. You can have a rest that was bought by the divine blood of Jesus Christ. It is a rest that the church today has thrown away, as Israel of old did it. They threw it away with the Sabbath. They did not want it. God said to rest, let the land rest. They trampled it and they continued to work it and toil, because that's all that mankind knows how to do. God says rest, man will work for it. God says it's a free gift, man will believe he has to earn it. Depraved and dark and wicked and vile in our imagination and our schemes that we do down here, it is the Holy Spirit ever coming again and again and again to reveal unto us that the finished work of Jesus Christ is enough. That you can know and understand that this entire Word of God can be taught to you by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. You do not need another man to teach you or woman to teach you the Word of God as it's been so orchestrated and organized in the church of our day. Did you know that the Holy Spirit will teach you the Word of God? Did you know that the Holy Spirit will reveal you the cross through whatever time that you allot to read the Bible? He's not refined. He's not set aside. If he wants to bestow mercy and reveal the cross to an individual, boom, that individual gets the revelation. It is not about the time spent. It is not about what they did before they read the Word of God. I don't care if you're reading the Word of God on the toilet. If the Holy Spirit decides to reveal to you the cross at that time, so be it. The cross will be revealed unto you. The church makes laws and makes parameters and tries to fence post in the third party of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you today that if you want to know the message of the cross, then by all means you will know it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need me, you don't need anybody to teach you the Word of God. That's the awesome thing about it, is that we're all on the same page here. We're all on the same level page. Whether one preaches, one prophesies, whether one can do miracles through them, whether one can raise someone from the dead, it doesn't matter. No one has acquiesced to a higher level. Because ultimately the teacher, the comforter, the one that can give the revelation is only the Holy Spirit. We are all in desperate need of Him to move. We're all in desperate need of Him to teach. The man that stands before you and preaches is just a vessel of flesh and blood. Has no power, has no further anointing than anybody else down the street. And that's good news, because I often for years thought myself to be better than others just simply because I stood behind a pulpit and preached. And I, like everybody else on the earth, had to be shown by the Holy Spirit of what a fool I am. Because the power of the Holy Spirit can show the cross to the illiterate. It can show the cross to the uneducated. It can show the cross. He can show the cross to whatever that person may be. And though we might see somebody that doesn't look the part, doesn't seem like they care at all, doesn't matter. None of that was a prerequisite to be shown the redemption of God. And the story of Shammai is a beautiful picture of just what I've said. It is a man that cursed David back in chapter 16. It is one that publicly threw rocks at David and cursed him and called him a son of Belial and threw insults of the most insulting weight that you can throw against a man that day. And it was interesting that the church of that day, the sons of Zariah, when they heard Shammai's cursing against David, their initial thing was that this man, we should cut off his head. And you'll find it, what I found interesting is that nothing really changed, because when that man finally comes back and throws himself at the feet of David, the reaction of the men of the people of God is the same. Should we kill him now because he cursed the Lord's anointed? It's interesting that the thought process of the organized church never stops. It's always, let's just completely drop the gavel on everyone that we in our own fleshly eyes believe to be outside of the will of God or in God. And I read these stories and I'm just uplifted. Because when I read these stories, I read about redemption where the worst all of a sudden is considered as one of the best. It is the worst is given the same consideration, the same promise of life as those that have walked with David the whole time. And I look at this and I think about it and I go, why does the church not preach redemption every time the doors are open? Why would we talk about anything under the sun other than the redemption of your soul? Does it really, anything else really matter? Does anything else really change? Excuse me. From here to there, it is the redemption of the soul. And on that fateful day when you close your eyes in death, I can guarantee right there at the last thoughts in your brain and in your heart is going to be the redemption of your soul. And some people, I firmly believe, do not come to the Lord until they're about on their deathbed. Because some, it is the only final time that they're humbled enough to finally realize that it isn't about me and I need to look exclusively to Him and what He's done. How powerful is this message of the cross, my friends? You have to understand that it has the power to take man from a state of complete wretchedness into a state of total righteousness. And it is a power that man cannot wield, he cannot harness, he cannot place it into a tool or to a program or to a script. But it is a message that he can only stand back and watch as the salvation of the Lord goes to work. He can only stand back in awe as he sees the redemption of his soul and the souls of others as they just put faith in what Christ did at the cross. It is a message that draws men unto him. As he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It was his time as he lifted up to the cross. If he's preached, his death is preached. If his lifting up is indeed shown forth as the saving power of God to the fallen world, it will draw people from all religions. It will draw people from all societies. It will draw people from every walks of life. They will hear about Christ and crucified. And for the first time, they will not be given a religious command. They will not be given a religious act to perform, but they will be given the life-changing water, the soul-quenching water that is the Word of God that testifies to what Jesus did at the cross. It is when they hear those words and they hear that preaching that all of a sudden what they are and what they're doing and what they're about fades away. And they realize for the first time in their life that what is going on in this earth is nothing but a train that is headed for destruction. And they begin to look at it. It's not about joining this earth. It's not about joining with the world. But it's about putting my faith in what Jesus did at the cross so that I will be made pure from the wickedness and the vile teachings that are being spawned out of the churches and out of the board meetings and out of the established places of society and community today. It is a global epidemic that the world thinks that the people on this world are actually coming together and they're unifying in some sort of utopia, and it's just a blasphemy. It's a lie. The world is headed for destruction. The countries of this world are headed for destruction. There's only been one country that has been told in Scripture that it will survive the wrath of God and be brought back as an entire nation unto the Lord, and that is the nation of Israel. So to put faith in your government, to put faith in your nation is folly. You have to put faith in what Jesus did at the cross. And so many churches try to tie church and government together, but it's not going to work. It'll eventually fall. It'll eventually perish. Mankind's systems cannot heal man. It can't save man. It can't stop the anxiety. It can't stop depression. It can't stop anything of the ills of this life. It is only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ is man ever healed or is he ever saved. You have to believe in that. You have to trust in his offering alone. Because the flesh and man's desire, he'll always try to bring forth an offering that will be the imitation or the instead of Jesus. He'll always try to raise up a program or some sort of scheme that can try to do what Jesus did. And when you have churches that declare they love Jesus Christ, but they don't preach his death on the cross. You have churches that say that we follow Jesus, but they don't follow Jesus. They follow the philosophy and the psychologies that have come out of the business concepts of this world. And so the people come to churches to hope and get a promise that they can wake up another day and know that it's going to be all right. But all they are given is things to toil and worry about because they're given back themselves. They are shown that what they have to do, what they have to accomplish, and what they need to do for the church. Well, I preach the gospel, and the gospel is not about what you do for God. It is what God has done for us. It is what Jesus and him alone and that perfect man with that perfect death on that altar. And that is a finished work. And if you want to see heaven and you want to see the glory and the grandeur of everlasting life, you had best start pushing away the nonsense that you hear in the church. You need to start testing everything. Is it correct? Is it right? Am I hearing really the cross of Christ? Because if you're not, then you are being given something for your flesh to do. And the Lord said, no flesh shall glory before me. No flesh. You see, you read the scriptures of Shammai, or the story of Shammai. And you see a man that placed everything he had upon the mercy of David. Because he knew what he was. He was a transgressor. He was a criminal. He knew he deserved death. But Shammai said, I was wrong. Shammai recognized, as he was revealed by the Holy Spirit, that I was completely a fool to have cursed this one David who represented Christ to come. He saw it as his eyes opened up that this Benjamite looked and beheld what David did and what David would represent as a representation of Jesus Christ to come. And he knew as he started coming back and as he crossed over the Jordan, Shammai realized everything that he was and everything that he was about and everything that he followed was wrong. Because as I preached earlier, Shammai cursing of David was a religious cursing. He believed he was doing something right for God. He believed he was pointing out, as he was from the line of Saul, that he was revealing that David was an imposter. And all who, which one of us cannot say that we have not called Jesus Christ an imposter? Which one of us cannot say today that we have not disregarded the work of his death on the cross? That every one of us is guilty of doing exactly what Shammai did. We've cursed the Savior. We've cursed the Almighty. We've cursed the Holy One. And we have. It's not because we just set up in the sky and yelled back at him. It's what we've believed in. It's what we've trusted in. Because if you trust in you, and you trust in what you can do or what your church program says to do, then you're not trusting in the cross. You're trusting in yourself or you're trusting in the words of another man. And the words of Christ are swept away and pushed away, flushed away from your sight. And it's these stories and it's this anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings us back to the truth that which one of us right now is going to stand before God right now and look any different than Shammai. Because if you say, well, I once was a Shammai, I once was like that years ago, but now I'm not, well, then you're a fool. The scripture is never given to us to say, look at your past and look at what you once were. It is always now. It is always right now. As you read the story, you look upon Shammai and you see yourself. Cursed in this flesh. One that has gone astray. One that has lifted up another work over the work of Jesus Christ. You look at Shammai and you realize that I have no other place but to stand next to him and say guilty at all charges. We look at Shammai and we see ourselves. And we see a person and a man that recognized what he was and what he was about. And he knew he only had one choice. He had one recourse in life. And that was to throw himself at the feet of David and beg for mercy. And the only choice you have in this life is to throw yourself under the work of Jesus Christ and know that it is by this work and this man's work alone that I am going to be saved, that I am going to be changed, and that I am ever going to forever see the glory of heaven. Shammai is our teacher, not a man that we look upon and go, what a dud, and move past into something else. He's a showstopper. He's the guy that stops you on your path and says, would you take a look as the Holy Spirit captured this little place in history? And this little man named Shammai, who was a curse unto Israel and hated Israel and hated David, and all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, this man changed. And I don't know what happened between the time that David left and by the time he returned. But somewhere along that line, Shammai got touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I read these verses, I go, there's hope for us. Because there was hope for Shammai. He was as bad as it gets. He was as backward as you can be. He was as far from God as a man can get. He surmised every single one of us standing right now listening to my message right now. And Shammai, guess what? Somehow the Lord found a way into this man's stone heart and showed him that it was faith in what Jesus did at the cross. Somehow Shammai gets changed, and his entire outlook on life and on God began to change, and he recognized, I've only got hope through one man, and that is David, who was a type of Christ. Somewhere and somehow, that Holy Spirit has the power to reveal unto us our disgrace and that beautiful hope that rests in what Jesus has done at the cross. And these stories should give joy back into our hearts. It should give peace back into our hearts and rest. As we read and know that, you know what the Lord is about? He's about our redemption. And when you read about a man who completely is against God, and in three chapters later throws himself at the feet of David and begs for mercy. And when that man David looks down at Shammai and says that you're going to live, that you shall not die, we should take heed to what the Word of God is saying. Because it's not a repentance in that Shammai said, I changed my ways, David. I was once this way, but now I fixed it all up and I'm coming to you a better man, a more clean version of me. No, Shammai is coming and his words are very simple. He says in verse 19, and said unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day the Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant don't know that I have sinned. So Shammai is not, he's not beating around the bush here. He's not going, David, you know, I got a little bit, tempted, and I kind of went off my path here, but I've cleaned up. I've went to some cell groups, and I'm getting back on the right horse. I'm back here now, David. Shammai is literally laying himself right in front of David that he's either going to get two things handed to him. He's either going to get granted life through the mercy of David, or he's going to get death through his wrath. And you see, this is the point that the Holy Spirit gets to the believer too, is that look, are you either going to take God's wrath and lift up your own work, or are you going to take his mercy and look under the work that Jesus Christ did? And man, it's that point where, as Shammai said, he's like, well, I don't got any other choice here. So I'm going to throw it all down. And if I get the sword, I get the sword. But he's left everything at the choice of David. He's said, let David decide my fate. And that is what it is with faith in the cross. It is allowing God to decide your fate. It is not I'm taking it in my own hands and I'm going to control my destiny. It is, God, you've promised a destiny. You've promised life. You've said in your word that you shall have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm throwing my fate as a person at the very work of Jesus Christ. If his blood can't save me, then I can't be saved. If his blood can't heal me, then I can't be healed. If that precious sacrifice is not enough for me, then I am just damned. It is completely eradicating your thought and mind of any other way other than the cross on which Jesus laid his life down. It's there and there alone. I am saying today, Lord, I place everything I've got in that. And the next day will come, and you'll wander again. And the Holy Spirit will be there to persistently bring you back into faith as you read the next story in the Word of God concerning a redemption of an individual. And Shammai says, let the Lord not remember. Let him not impute iniquity. He's basically claiming himself that, how do you forget what I did? How do you forget what man has done all of his life. How can God just wipe away all the transgression that man did? There's only one way, and that is if that man is dead in his flesh. See, the Bible is showing us that Shammai is proclaiming his own death. Though he physically stands there before David, he's declaring that what I've been till now is a complete pile of dung. Shammai never raises up any good that he's ever done. He never brings up anything that he's ever done in his past that was worthwhile. He doesn't ever claim that he's worthy and that he should be spared because of what he can offer David in terms of military or business benefit. You see, Shammai comes to the table with only one testimony. I have sinned. He says, I have sinned. That's it. And when the Holy Spirit moves and starts to move you towards to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, you stop wondering about whether am I doing good or am I doing bad? How did I do? How did I not do? You start seeing the truth and go, I've sinned. I have nothing else to present except the life of a sinner. To believe that I do would be a lie. And these are so powerful because it's so, so restful when you stop the madness inside your brain of trying to figure out whether you're good or bad in front of God. But when you finally come to that beautiful conclusion that you're nothing but a sinner from day one, and nothing changes that as far as the work of this body, well, then I'm not going to look here or there. Am I there or am I not there? I'm not going to evaluate my life, whether God's in it or not, by my bank account and by the health of my family. But I'm going to do it by the Word of God, and I'm going to look down and say, you know, I don't know a whole lot. I'm not very smart. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box at all. But I read the story in the Word of God, and I see men like Shammai, and I see men that stand before that which should destroy them, and they stand before the one who should crush them in his wrath, and they beg for mercy, and they look unto him and him alone, and they're saved and they're spared. And I look back and say, if I ever was to follow somebody, if I ever was to look unto something, what did I not look unto Shammai? You got people following these knuckleheads in these summit meetings and these leadership conferences. People shelling out good money for their books on how to read to be effective in this society and how to be overcoming and powerful and successful. And it's a toil and it's labor and it's nothing. It's all it's going to, the only good that'll come out of it is hopefully you will finally wake up one day and realize that I'm laboring in vain. Because when the day comes that you start going, you know what? I'm whatever Shammai did, I think I'll follow his path. It doesn't mention what he did or not do in his life. It doesn't mention anything at all. It just simply states that the man showed up on the scene and declared his wretchedness publicly before all. That is a beautiful thing. I mean, to completely get off the hamster wheel and step out for a second and just go, this whole time I've been trying to climb a mountain of progressive sanctification. I've been trying to climb this mountain of getting better for God and growing and growing, and as if my life is going to change. I'll become more holy. I'll become more healed. I'll become more financially stable. I've always looked unto these things as proof of the Holy Spirit in my life. But it always contradicts the stories of the Word of God. Because what Shammai needed, he didn't need these things, and neither do you. What Shammai needed is he needed the one who typified Jesus Christ to look over his fallen soul and say, "Thou shalt not die." He didn't need change. He didn't need behavior change in his life. He didn't need any of that. All he needed was somebody for the Lord to look at him as a decrepit human being and say, "Thou shalt not die." And guess what? That's enough for him. Why is it enough for him? Because he's a man that realizes that his head's on the death sentence. He's a man that recognizes he's on the verge of being completely destroyed by the wrath of David. He's a man that recognizes that David remembered what he had done and remembered what he said. And when David comes to power and when David returns to power, surely he's going to come after this guy. He recognized the fact that he only stood as a criminal and only stood as one that was about to get the gavel against him. So when you're on death row, the only thing you carry about is that statement that says, "Hey, you're allowed to live." The problem with the church today, the problem with people, is no one believes that they're in this state. No one believes as they go through their life, especially in the United States, as they go to their churches, they go to work, no one believes the death sentence is something real or over them as an individual. It's far removed from our earthly eyes, but it's even farther removed as far as the spiritual truth that we hold against ourselves. But under the Shema, he recognized it because it was real unto him that he truly was facing the death sentence of David. So as he said, "I was the first to come to you." He hasted, he ran, he quickly got to David before the wrath came back against him. And what I am trying to say unto you is that one day, that day will come where there'll be no longer a moment for you to choose the offering of Jesus Christ in the cross. And that moment could be moments away, it could be seconds away as you hear my voice. That as the scripture says, today is the day of salvation, that is exactly what it means. It means that right at this moment, the salvation of God is nigh unto you. And by the precious offering of Jesus Christ, you can believe right now in that death and you can be joined with the living Savior. And what you've done on this earth will be remembered no more. And the wrath of God that should be imputed unto your eternal soul will be forgotten as you are as looked as God, as the death sentence has been completely fulfilled by you. And so we come up to a terrific teaching point here. That how can God in the garden say, "You shalt surely die"? And then later on, can God say also, "You shall not die"? How can both statements be spoken over a human soul and both of them be fulfilled? You see, God didn't go back on his word. He didn't forget about what he said. He said to man, "You shalt surely die." And you can bet your bottom dollar that the law of sin and death will be fulfilled. You will indeed die. Your mortal body will taste the dirt. But God also said unto the soul of man, "Thou shalt not die." And how can both be applied to a human being? Terrific question. It is by what Jesus has done at the cross. It is by that work and that work alone that the death sentence can be imputed unto mankind, even though they have not tasted death yet. That God, as he looks upon the offering of his Son, and as we are joined with him as we believe in what he's done at the cross, we are unified with him there. And that our flesh is considered to be dead. That thou shalt surely die is fulfilled, yet our soul is joined with Christ, and we are alive in him and in his righteousness. And so thou shalt not die is also fulfilled in our life. And all you got to do is believe. We believe it to be true because his word says so. This is how great the cross of Christ is. That God could be an executioner and a savior all at the same time. He could fulfill thou shalt surely die, and he could fulfill, thou shalt not die, and it can all happen because of what his son has done at the cross. That judgment and mercy can operate simultaneously. As we just believe in what Christ did at the cross. It's just amazing. If you step back and if you just look at it, God never had to change his word. He never had to alter his sentence. He fulfilled them both. The thou shalt surely die and the promise that would come through the seed. Both beautifully fulfilled without a single work of man. Both beautifully fulfilled by only the one, the God-man, Jesus Christ. So when I preach about how important it is to understand or how magnificent the cross is, that to me just sums it up. When God can fulfill wrath and he can fulfill redemption through one man's work, which is his son's death on the cross. I mean, you got to step back and go, this is amazing. This has the fingerprint of divinity all over it. Because at no place can I satisfy God's wrath against me, or can I fulfill his redemption for me. In no place in that can I accomplish it by my work down here on earth. But if I just believe, then God can do what Shammai asked. Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that the Lord King went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Remember not nothing about me. Please, Lord, only remember me as one that is just believing in your sacrifice on the cross. It is a man that recognizes that his iniquity is real, his shame is real, and the sentence against him is real. It is a man that knows he cannot skirt, he can't limbo under the death sentence that's due him. So he can only plead the blood. He can only plead the redemption. He can only come and fall and declare unto the Lord what he really is, in hopes that the Lord will look at him and see that this is faith in him. Shammai doesn't come to David unless he has faith in David. He has faith that David can save him. He has faith that David would redeem him. Otherwise, it would be foolish for him to go. This is how important it is to see the cross, is that he's saying, I believe. I believe in what Jesus can do at the cross for me. I believe he can save me. I believe he can fulfill. He can be the in totality everything that is against me. He can fulfill. He can put it all away. He can give me righteousness and salvation. I can be set apart for God just by simple faith in what he did at the cross. This is the most beautiful thing ever about the Word of God, is that I'm not chasing my tail or another man's tail trying to figure out how in the world do I get unified with God. It's not a relationship thing. It is a spiritual union that occurs in faith. And until the church wakes up, until they open their eyes and they recognize that you have got to quit preaching the falsehood and quit preaching the philosophy of our day, the people in those churches are never going to hear the rest, that Jesus died for them. They're never going to hear that. They're never going to ever be able to sit under a message where they're finally at peace with where they can say, it is well with my soul. Do you realize what God did at the cross is that he could say over your soul, thou shalt not die? The greatest thing that anybody has ever declared over you is thou shalt not die. Who can say that but God? Who can say that but the one who from the beginning of time, the Lamb slain since the foundation of the world, who can declare such a statement over the souls of wicked and vile men? It is only Jesus Christ, and by virtue of what He did at the cross, that He will be forever glorified for the work that He did, and that the redeemed souls of mankind will praise Him and worship Him for all eternity. It's an incredible message. It's a beautiful declaration of the Holy Spirit that testifies through the Word of God. Who preaches these redemption stories anymore? Who talks about the men like Shammai? They're brushed away, they're hidden away from the pulpits because they want to push their agendas of church. They want to push their growth agendas and where they're going next. But my friends, we are fools if we don't heed the Word of God, if we don't listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. That there is a message here that is coming forth unto us. A message of truth and a message of justification and a message that starts pushing away the falsehood and says, what doctrine do we really believe in? Does your doctrine line up with Shammai? Because we know he was granted mercy. We know redemption was given unto him. We know he didn't earn it. He didn't work for it. We know, and people will say, well, yeah, that represents me when I was born again. No, that's what a fool would say. To those that believe they are still in the process of being saved, because I don't know about you, but I'm not standing in heaven and neither are you. I don't know about you, but I still look around and see the disease and the age and still see a body that is decaying as time slips away through the hourglass. So what are we talking about? Well, that was when I was born again. Now I'm saved and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Now I'm saved and now I just go down this path of I just live for the Lord and do things for Him. That is the lie. The stories are not to remind you that, hey, you were okay. You were bad one at one time. The stories are to remind you of what is needed now. Believe again in what Christ did at the cross. Trust again in His finished work. I don't care how many years you've been in. I don't care what you've read in the Bible. It doesn't matter how many times you in the past you've already said and declared that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit comes again. And He's come to remind us all that it's still the cross. It's still His offering. It's still that finished work. It had nothing to do with us. It never did and it never will be. It was always about Jesus. It was always about the one to come. And it's now about the one that did come. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm trying to raise up the Shammais. That those that recognize that dead in my trespasses and sins, dead, having no life, having no worth, having nothing that is of God in me, I turn to the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For one reason. So that God would look at me and say, thou shalt not die. Not for a bigger house, not for more cars, not for boats, not for bikes, not for anything else, but the reason why I believe in Jesus' death on the cross is not for what I'll get down here. It's to know and to rest my head at night and know that God looks down at my soul and says, thou shalt not die. Because if I have that, I got it all. If I'm saved and I go to eternity with the Lord, I've gained everything because I'll have heaven in Him. Jesus said, what if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? What if every single person on this earth recognizes you and pats you on the back as a preacher? What did you gain if your soul falls to the pit? You see, friends, the preaching is not about what God will help you get through in this life. Preaching is about telling people that God said, thou shalt not die if you believe in His Son's death on the cross. Where is that message and where has it gone? And it's the Lord statement unto humanity. You're dead until you believe. You're dead until you take that offering alone and that offering alone. It is there where God says, thou shalt not die. Oh, friends, we've missed it. We've missed it. If someone says, do this, and all of a sudden another spirit of another God of the Antichrist come flowing in. And I tell you what, if we start feeling better about ourselves, if we get a jump in our step, if a little bit more money comes in, if we get people at work that start talking to Jesus about it, if we get all these little things that we look about as people call these little God bumps and these little venues of God running around, man, we're so duped. We look at it and our eyes look at it and go, oh, this must be right. But we forgot the reason why the Apostle Paul, why the Lord came down at him on the road to Damascus. It wasn't to change people's lives on earth. He didn't get beat up, whipped down, thrown into the mud, get back up and go to the next synagogue just so people could have better lives down here. He preached the gospel to tell people that God said, thou shalt not die if you put faith in what Jesus did at the cross. It was to tell that the redemption is nigh. It was to tell the salvation of God is come. It was to tell that all walks of life and all people of all nations, of all colors and all stripes, that one Jesus Christ has laid down His life and His offering was accepted by God Almighty, and the wrath of God that was due us fell upon Him. And guess what? We just believe in that death. We just believe in that death, I said. And guess what is stated over you? The same words that David said over Shimei as he laid there in the dirt before his feet. He said to a deprived, wicked criminal, guilty on all charges, he looked down in the eyes of a man whose eyes of despair, who knew his sin and knew he was guilty, and he looked down at that man and said, thou shalt not die. And guess what? That was all Shimei needed to hear. That was it. And you got the church, who are the sons of Zariah, who make the claim as they typify the church of our time and religious man as he has been from all times. They say, well, should we do what? Should we kill him because he cursed you, David? And David's like, what do I have to do with you people, you sons of Zariah? What do I have to do with you? What he's saying is, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He's saying, you have no part in me. We are not the same. You are all about some sort of religious system to toss on people. I'm about the redemption of souls. And guess what? If the Lord was here, He'd be saying the exact same thing to every single stinking church on every street corner around in this world. What have I have to do with you, you sons of Zariah? I'm about saving people's souls. I'm about the hope and the promise to come. And you're about changing this thing called flesh that I have already cursed. I've already claimed it to be rotten and cursed. I've already declared your righteousness is as filthy rags. So how are you going to improve on that? You have no lot in me. You have no part in me. You see, David changed. David was once one who tasted the redemption of God. And he now he wants to pour it out on another. But the sons of Zariah, the sons of Abishai never changed. From their first analysis of Shimei until now, nothing changed. The heart never changed. And what the Lord is trying to show us here, which is really powerful, is that the sons of Zariah is actually the heart of man, and you have the heart of Christ. You have the heart of man, which is the very heart that's in the church, which is simply the heart to inundate law upon people. So he cursed the Lord's anointed, so let's cut him down into death. But the man had come, and he's completely vocally displayed or foretold what he was, and they don't care. All they care about is simply putting him down, believing that he never changed or he never could be saved. And this is the folly of the church, because it looks at people and thinks that those people can't be saved, or worse yet, they believe that they already are saved and there's no reason to talk about them. And it's amazing to me that the sons of Zariah, the heart of that heart, is the very heart that is in every one of us. And it's a heart that we can't deny. We can't say that it's not in us. We look at people and we instantly gauge them or judge them whether or not they're saved or not, or whether God will change them or will God will save them. We judge them whether or not the Lord will reveal the cross unto them. We look at people and we automatically check them off the list and believe that they can never be given this message of the cross. But what's so beautiful is that you understand that this message of the cross is not about how it's orated or how it's been taught or how it's been preached. It's completely by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if Shammai can get it, then we can get it, folks. If Shammai can be saved, then we can be saved. If Shammai can be taken from a state of complete rebellion and into a state of faith, well, then we should have hope today. See, there's hope for you and there's hope for me. Because the Lord doesn't change. And He's not a respecter of persons. So some of you right now might say, man, I'm completely so far from God, you don't understand. But yeah, join the club. It's the blood that brought us nigh. It was never us that brought us unto God. It's the blood that brought us nigh. It's always the offering. So I completely agree with you right now that you're about as far from God as you can get. But guess what? Just believe in what Jesus did at the cross and you're unified with Christ. That's the beauty of this message. It doesn't really look upon you at all. God's not respecting you. He doesn't, even on your best day, He still disqualifies you of having righteousness. So when we begin to perceive this and when we begin to look at what Shammai did, we see faith in one man's work, throwing it all at David and David alone. My friends, that is the power of God. That is the power of God. I've looked for years thinking the power of God, the anointing of God was just, you know, the great miraculous things, and you know, it was massive altar calls and people coming out of sickness and diseases. And I'm not saying that the Lord can't do that, but you know what? We missed it because that's all we ever searched for. But the true power of God is revealed in the Word of God, and Shammai's story is the power of God. It is a man that was once far away and he's now joined with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit brought him here and the Holy Spirit got him there and the Holy Spirit placed him right before David and hasted there, and that man said, yes. Yes, I have sinned, and yes, David, you're the only one that can help me. And let me say it one more time. I haven't said it enough. Therefore, the king said unto Shammai, thou shalt not die. And the king swore unto him. He had the oath of David that he would not die. And Jesus Christ gave an oath, has given an oath unto you. And he says, you shall not die if you put faith in what I've done at the cross. If you believe unto me, you will be spared the wrath of hell. My friends, those are the only things you need to know right now. That's the only thing you need to be worried about right now. That's the only thing that should matter to you. I know the church says, well, that's great when you get saved, but now we got to move on into church life and do church work. No, I don't believe it was ever supposed to end. I believe that the preaching of salvation was to occur the first day the doors open until the last days. I believe the Apostle Paul then never set up the church to go do things, to do work and to focus on the community. I believe he was set the church up to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, preach him crucified. And from that point on, it has been nothing but apostasy, and it has been nothing but a falling away, as the Apostle Paul said and predicted that it would happen. But the good news is that Shammai was in an apostasy too, and the Holy Spirit got him out of that. And the Holy Spirit can take us through. He can do it. He has the power to get us through all the way to the end. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much. Lord, I just ask that you would continue to keep showing us the cross. Lord, never spare, never give up. Lord, give us words to preach. Give us words to teach. Give us the testimony, Lord, to declare unto the world that what you've done at the cross is enough. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.